Hey, it's time for us to start again. We've got a big act to follow after Michael Duber, and we've brought in the man that is a big act, apparently. It's Colin Anderson. How are you, Colin?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're in there, you're along with the normal couple of reprobates. The rabbit's on the far side. Kev, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
You just told us you've been ill all week.
Well, I have been, but I'm back now.
Yeah, the second that red button goes, he is on.
He's on. What about you, Andreas? How's life treating you?
Yeah, not too bad. Very
good. You've done an abseil this afternoon.
I did. I went off the women's centre, John Radcliffe. Jumped off the top, had a rope attached to me there. So that's good, it was good fun actually.
It was good fun.
A little scared, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I can understand that. We could hear the clapping from a long way away, and that wasn't that wasn't hands. Right, so you raised money for charity, you've been off work ill, and me and Colin went to see the Mighty Mean and Magnificent Yellows yesterday, and we've got to start, really, Colin, with yesterday's performance. Just how good were Chesterfield?
I thought Chesterfield, very good side, very good movement, players looked comfortable on the ball. And we looked the opposite at times.
Isn't that every home game, though, Kev?
Yeah, we have a bit of a problem at home, don't we? You know, we walk on that park with a big crowd, and we just don't perform. I can't remember the last time we actually put a performance in.
I don't want to say anything. Big crowd, 7-1, top two in the division. We got bigger crowds in the conference, Andy.
Yeah, big time. And actually, from one of our previous podcasts, I actually sat down and did some stats, which we never used, which is pretty typical, really. But our crowds are pretty much what they were about this time last season, about 200 or 300 behind what they were this time last season. But it's still not particularly, you know, it's not a fortress, is it? Let's be honest.
I don't think it's ever going to be a fortress. No. But I'll come back to Colin, who started there. He said, you know, Chesterfield were good, but we weren't. You know, where did it go wrong for us?
I personally feel, I mean, I walked away from the ground after. I felt disappointed, as I did with the Rochdale game.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, it just seems like we're playing with shackles on, you know, as opposed to Chesterfield that just looked bright. They were switching the ball from wing to wing. Every player seemed to have time on the ball. They were moving, dragging us about all over the place. And then when we broke, we had so many men behind the ball, we had no one to pass to.
But is that, you say we look like we played with shackles on. I can understand what you're saying, but have we got that quality of football? Are they having Sheffrey coming off the bench? And talking about that bench, they have more coaches than we had subs, in fairness. They had Eric Nixon, Liam Richardson, they had loads of coaches. They're obviously a club with a few quid swimming around, but we're looking at coming out. I don't know what you think, boys, but if it drops to Alfie Potter, we've got a chance of building something. Currently with Asa, who's a right footer on the left side, it's not feeling the same. We know our full-backs are not the same full-backs from last year.
We said at the start of the season, it's even recorded to say that we thought our midfield was quite weak. The starting three,
I think it lacked creativity, wasn't it?
I thought I'd get that flight.
Yeah, thank you very much.
But we do, yeah, we haven't got that talent then. We certainly haven't got an abundance of numbers off the bench either. And, you know, we're meant to have a solid back four with no attacking full-backs. I think the fullback's got to do the first thing, which is defend, and I think they're struggling to do that.
And I think as well, I think one of our biggest failings last season, I think, was lack of creativity in midfield as well. And that was what we were hoping we were going to get, a new dawn this season, which hasn't really materialised because we keep playing
four. Which goes back to the question, is it playing without shackles or is it not there in the first instance? But having said that, the move that led to the Smalley header in the first half was a cracking move, so it is in there.
It is in there. I think when you look at it, we've got, as Kev says, we've got a good defence. They do the right thing, which allows the rest of the team to play. But I feel that we play too deep. You know, for example, you had Rigg coming on, taking people on the halfway line. We need to find a way to push the team up the pitch so that Potter and Rigg can get free on the edge of the box.
That's a really good point as well, because we were talking about that and the kind of the Andy Wing, Danny Rose effect about how Andy, you know, Danny's going to look to Andy Wing. We were saying in a previous one exactly. And Andy Wing, obviously, is always going to sit and screen the defence. Taking it on a step, Andy Wing, red card, and you guys can talk in a bit about whether or not it was red card. He's now going to be banned for 3 games. How's that going to affect things? Are we going to put Scott Davis in there? How's it going to work?
I think, first of all, we come on to, I think Andy Wing, I used the word yesterday off air, cumulative. Mm-hmm. And I use the word cumulative, that was my word of the day, because Bury, Wickham, Rochdale, Chesterfield, people say about the bulk of the Oxford fans will be sat home watching their home games. And the cumulative reaction is they're not getting entertained for their money. That's the first thing. Cumulative, going on to Andy Wick. He now sits in, whether it's a suspension, he's out for three games. He's in there with Kitson, who's suspended. Bino, Wright and co. We'll come on to the strength and depth of the squad in just a moment. It all rolls on. Going back to what you say regarding sitting too deep, Colin, you're quite right. It's something we said. We sit on the toes of our defenders. We allow them space to play in there. You know, where does it? How do we do that? How do we get them up? Because I'm sure Chris wants them higher at the park.
Well, this is what I'm saying about the shackles. To me, I don't know whether it's because Chris Wilder sets them out in some sort of a rigid way that doesn't allow them to express themselves, but that's what it seems like to me. And it seems like they're always rushed on the ball, whereas when you look at Chesterfield, they just look so comfortable. You know, they were playing round players, they were playing through players, they were pinging it from side to side, and it was all coming off. Whether that comes off when the weather gets a bit worse, I don't know.
Well, the question, I'll throw this out, Chris Wilder said, and no, Tom Newey said, who looks very much like David Hunt, who I was going to say it was, but it was Tom Newey, said we'd spent all week on a plan to counter Chesterfield. Was that, do you think that was part of, we were showing too much respect?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit concerning as well. I mean, I know you're playing team top of the table and unbeaten, the only other unbeaten side, but they're coming to us. And if you're going to have confidence about yourself, if you're really going to have genuine belief in yourself on your home patch, you need to be able to go and take it to whatever side that comes there.
Yeah.
We all went back in a blue square. Just coming back. Sorry, Colin, you were going to say?
Well, I've always been taught that if you keep the ball in the opposition half, they can't hurt you. And I feel that, you know, to entertain the crowd when you're at home, that's what we want to see. We want to see Chesterfield. That is the type of football everybody...
Yeah, they are enjoying it.
They're great to watch. It's disappointing from our point of view, but that is what we've got to be aiming for.
The Mr. Spyrite came on to me last night with a text, and he was very, very gracious, and I can't actually read his text word for word. I'll have to cut one bit out about me and my proprietors, let's put it that way. But his words, and I've got to tell you this, because this were his exact words. Right. That's really good. Let's cut that bit out. He turned round and said to me that the following, it's a long text, I won't say to it. So a fair result, I guess. I'm just amazed at the passing football we are playing week in and week out, and was totally chuffed to see it firsthand for myself. As an exile, I can only read so much before actually seeing it happen. I thought the Yellows had their moments, but didn't play enough on the ground. Sorry, he says, Dave Kitson is massively overrated in my opinion. He said, I don't think he'll be far away come the end of the season. Just needs to sort out some loanies to get him in, to sort out the injuries and suspensions. The chairman has to step up to the plate now. A couple of other bits he went on to say, which will remain silent, but... What do you think? That is somebody who was a friend of our show in the past, Kevin.
We you know, the long ball's coming because that's our option with Dave Kitson. That you try and hit him because you're going to try and win second ball. Happened at Portsmouth, was really effective at Portsmouth. He battered their two centre-halves to a degree that they lost their temper with him effectively. Dave Kitson doesn't. That's the job he does. We're not very good at home, let's be fair. Whether you're a player or a supporter, you cross the line, you walk on the field, straight away, you know... You're going to struggle to get a result. You're going to have to work really hard to do that. And once the pressure's on, you are taking steps back. And because we play a four, we play wingy in front, which is a five, Danny Rose is not the midfield man to drop in there and start winning balls for you. You're going to put yourself under pressure. But what we try and do is then push them back by getting your wingmen, which is Potter and Rigg, who came on, to press the game. It doesn't work that way sometimes. And that's what you have to... We're very poor at home. That's
conversely, let me throw something back at you. 18 games, first season in the Blue Square. Andy Burgess and co. knocking the ball around really nice. What did the Blue Square sides do to us? What did they do? They came and went smack in our face,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
Maybe that was the way we should have gone at Chesterfield yesterday. Got in their faces and knocked them out of their routine. What do you think of that, Cole?
I think that maybe, but I just think we could have imposed ourselves on them. We just needed to get Potter, especially Potter, we need to get him free. I think we need to free him up there. He's far too deep when he gets the ball. He's got two or three players on him. It happened against Rochdale. It's obvious it's going to happen. He's well known. If that is your outlet player, that you want to be getting in behind their fullbacks, then you have to find a way as a team to release him.
Got a difficult question for you now. You've seen Oxford play. You've all seen Oxford play. All right. We'll ask you. We'll cross the table with this one. You do strengths and weaknesses. As an opposing manager facing Oxford next weekend, what are you saying? Who are you stopping? Are we carrying threats all over the park, or are we just saying, double up on Potter, he's out of the game, get tight on, well, Kitson's not even turning up next week because he's now suspended. You know, do you see enough threats as an opposing manager from Oxford United?
Yeah, but I mean, as an opposing manager, first of all, you look at the weaknesses of the side you're playing.
Yep.
Attack those weaknesses, and we've got a few of those at the moment. You know, and if you're an opposing manager playing at the Kassam Stadium, you know the crowd. If you can quieten the crowd, that's the first thing you've got to do. And if you can keep Kitson and Smalley with their back to goal like they did on Saturday, then you've got a bit of a chance, you know, and tie Potter up. We're struggling after that.
Do you think then there's, you know, all right, I suppose I'm saying to you, Andy, is that, do we carry enough threat? Do we have enough of a threat all over the park?
And again, I don't look down our team sheet and see like a whole load of people that inspire with an enormous amount of confidence. I think we're a pretty tight unit, don't get me wrong. I think there's a core of a decent side in there, but there are, as you say, I mean, Alfie Potter so far is the only person week in, week out from the games that I've seen that's really thoroughly impressed me, and I think he's doing his stature has definitely grown in the club. As an opposing management, a manager, exactly right, shut him down. I don't know how fit Sean Rigg is going to be, whether or not he's going to be able to come back against Hartlepool next week. Let's say he is, and finally we've got that width again, shut the two wings down, because if they've done their homework, whenever we try to go narrow, we offer nothing.
I've got to say, going over to Kevin, who used to be the man that offered us an awful lot of punditry. You got your arms folded, you were shaking your head at times. Out, give us some more. Give us some insight.
We don't. Our threat is over Potter. I think, you know, correct. When he's on the ball, he's on form. He's a threat for any team. You know, he travels really well with the football. If he's not playing the game properly, for me, sometimes he goes hiding and he doesn't really want to put his foot in and get involved with it. He can feel the tension. We're a nothing team, you know. It's about width for us. It's about pace. It's about getting it forward. Press the game. Try and win free kicks and hope Danny Rose pops in the back of the net, because that'll be our game plan for Saturday. You try and press the game, win second ball, and then see what you can pick up. Negatives for us, just attack fullbacks. Attack our fullbacks, yeah. Get a ball in the box. Yeah. We've got two centre-halves.
Yeah.
He says, biting his tongue, got one centre-half with somebody else. Who, to me, at the moment, don't defend as a four-man unit. The defenders, two fullbacks who allow players to get behind them, and two centre-halves who look at each other thinking, new.
Well, in fairness, I'm going to stick up. Schoolboy errors across the pitch at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
If a left-back can wander into our penalty area, he should have been tracked by somebody.
Yep.
Come what may. You know, I don't think you picked that up on the back four. I think if he's allowed to wander in, they should be expecting somebody to come back. Moving it on a bit, Colin, you know, we know Chesterfield are good, we know they are splashing some cash, and they've got some decent footballers there. It is, you know, why? We'll look at Rochdale and Wickham, and we look at just crawling over the line against Bury, who had 33,000 new players. Why is it? Is it because we all, as fans, are in this nice stadium that we can sit back and think, come on, entertain us? Because when we went to Cheltenham and there's 3,000, it looked packed. We're all on everybody's heads. We're right over there. The atmosphere is intimidating. Do you think the ground plays a part sometimes?
I mean, it is a bit of a... It's a big old stadium with an open end. It doesn't do us any favours, despite what, you know, you hear Chris Wilder saying about the crowd help us and this, that and the other. But it is a big old echoey stadium with a lot of empty seats. So, you know, it is going to have an effect. You know, when we go to the grounds that are tight... The you know, there don't have to be many home fans to make a noise, so that
well,
is going to.
Yeah,
we were in the away end at Torquay.
Yeah, and I was going to say as well, on top of that, and I think it's on the back of Colin's point, is that when we travel away, we've got such a good away support, and everybody's charged, and everybody's up for it. It's a day out, and everybody's you get packed into a nice little terrace, and everybody's sat in there together. As you say, at home, all of those people who, you know, they'll be up for the game and everything. We all get spread out. Some from North Stand, some East Stand, some top end of the South Stand, upper end of Rich Seats.
I see the fans before the game, and they're all there with their hope and anticipation. They are there. They all come there expecting a performance. We all yearn, if we're all old enough, to go back to the days where the atmosphere from 7,000 inside the Manor Ground would absolutely drag the ball down the slope that I never saw unless I run on it. But do you know what I mean? And I do think that, and I made this point recently, when Robin Hood riding through the Glen designed the ground, he did design it to sweep away. And if you look at the first row of seats in any stand, you are 6 foot from the fence, you have 10 foot of tarmac, and then you have 6 foot to the touchline. So you can't get on top of players. So I think there's a design episode. I've been in the Britannia for Oxford United playing there with 8,000 at Stokes Ground, and they rattled like peas. Now they feel it, they're in the Premier League. Mm. Does seem like money talks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's... Well, I personally don't think you can sort of blame grounds, really, because it doesn't seem like other sides that come to the Kassam have much of a problem with it. And sometimes they don't even have 100 fans in there supporting them. So, you know, they seem to go out there, their minds are focused on the football, and this is where I think the problem is. If the Oxford players' minds were totally focused on the football, not worried so much about, you know, what the fans are thinking and...
Do you think they're thinking that? Do you think they're thinking that, or do you think this is direction?
Well, last year, we won less games at home than we did away. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be going that way a bit this season. So it's got to be either they're worried about performing in front of a so-called big crowd, or there's some serious tactical problems going on.
Well, your mate, who you used to spend many years sat with, won't go now, will he? Until the manager has changed. And he's stuck very rigidly to that. I don't want to get on to, you know, we have one defeat.
Yeah.
It did do quite a bit of damage, and it dropped us into fourth place, and there's a lot of sides in the pack, and it's early season, so I don't actually think we'll go down to questioning the manager or anything whatsoever. But what I will say, and it's one of the questions, is... We have vested interests. There's a youth team player that we've known since the age of Dot who's coming through the ranks. He's going to be on the bench next week, Kevin and Andy and Colin, because Wing's out, Bino's out, Wright's out, Kitson's out. You know, you look at our bench for the Portsmouth game, it had Scott Davis, Asa Hall, James Constable, Michael Raines, four big players. So when the manager looked at his bench and he had four and three kids, he had four that were going to change it. James Constable's out injured. He can't call him from the bench. He's got Asa Hall, who's playing. He's got Scott Davis, who's there, still on the bench. And he's got Michael Raines playing. You know, is this a bit short-sighted? We know the kids have got to come through. We want to see the kids come through. But are we in a situation here where... Oops.
I mean, I said over the summer, I was having a conversation with somebody when I think it's after we'd signed Baham. I can't remember who the exact people were. I think it was O'Dowda and a couple of other people. We signed them on pro terms. There's a group of them all in one shot, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. And I said, this very much looks like Chris Wilder is saying, right, well, here we go. This is the core of my squad, an experienced squad, and back it up with some youth, which means you can plough more investment and more money into having a higher quality first team. But as you say, that thins out the back end of the squad. He looks back on his bench now once you've got a couple of injuries, and it's kids and inexperience. But, I mean, you've put a degree of faith in these kids. They might be young, they might be inexperienced, but if they're there, give them a go.
I think as a manager, especially given the start we've got, you can pop one into a side, you can pop two mm-hmm. in opposite spectrums on the siding, but you can't suddenly, you know, I think Chris Wilder... And, you know, he's defaulted to Ryan Williams, who hasn't shown a lot to me so far. In fact, looks quite scared when he comes onto the field to play for me. You know, and I've been screaming for Callum O'Dowd. Yeah, there's times when Callum O'Dowd should have come on. I think the Wickham game was one for sure, in my opinion. And it's only my opinion, and that's what football's based on. But, you know, he's going to look for game changes. If you're in a position to change the game, you know, and you're asking the kid not only to come on, make your debut, and then change the game, it's a big ask, surely.
Massive, massive ask. You know, the problem you get, I went to Cheltenham, Callum came on, started the game, played in the full 90 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Was getting abuse. We sat in the ground and we heard it. You know, his final ball's not good enough, but this is a young kid who's just started his first game, who was doing a Cheltenham fullback inside out, turned him inside out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the pressure you've got away from home. God knows what it'd be like at home. If you bring the boys on and they don't put it in or don't perform, you fear for them, because they'll be stood there thinking...
Sean Wright always springs to mind. One great player back in the latter days of the 80s from Wolverhampton. Great, they took him down in Wales, I think, come back with a great, headed one across against a crossbar in a home match against Port Vale, and people just slaughtered him, absolutely slaughtered him, and he's a player that we never got the best out of. Colin, I know you're interested in youth.
Yeah, I think Callum is a bit of a special case. I've known him since he's a little boy, as you were, and... That boy's got something, and what he will give you is he will do the right things deeper when he's sort of on the halfway line. He won't just take people on. He will try to get to the edge of the area, and then he will take people on. He will get you free kicks, he will get you penalties, he will give you crosses, and he will score goals. And he can do that, and a good place to start to give him a bit of game time for when we do have some real injuries and you know, suspensions, is play him at home, start him. Then you've got good players. You'll have like a rig sat on the bench who can come on, who could change the game later on when the other team's tired.
Especially, as we know, Rig's been out with a hamstring, and I think it was evident to everybody that watched the game yesterday that, you know, we've heard this, well, he's fit, he's on the bench, he can play. But it's fitness, match fit. And Sean Rig, I think, again, only my opinion, was put on the bench to give him something for 20 minutes, because that's how the manager feels he's being lined up. He did use the word yesterday, the manager, this is the club's philosophy to go with the youngsters. And I can understand that, but there has to be surely dialogue between the chairman and the manager to say just how you use the youngsters. You don't just say, well, we've got six youngsters, off they go.
I do wonder as well with O'Dowda, and it kind of... All I've heard is just positive stuff. We spoke to Michael Dubry 2 weeks ago, and he had nothing but praise for Callum, talking about how he's the first person out there on the training pitch practicing his free kicks, and he's the last person to get hit the showers afterwards.
I think he might have bought a restate watch and it's broken. Yeah. That's why he gets it's an old story, old gag.
But what I was going to say is I honestly think that... I do wonder if Chris Wilder sits there and thinks, I know what I've got here. I've got a genuine, real talent, and I want to make sure when I chuck him in properly, it's the right time. Because the last thing he wants to do is sit there and stick him out there, hang him out to dry, and you know, we as you said, we've seen players ruined by that before.
I'm not breaking wind here. I'm just a bit worried that at the back end of last season, when we had 3 or 4 games, that we won the last three. That we weren't in danger of being relegated, and we no longer got to the playoffs. I thought maybe that had been a bit of time to get some game time out of him. I don't know, Kev, what do you think?
Absolutely right. I've no doubt in my mind, having watched him play a few times, that I think the boy's ready to play proper first team football. I have no doubt. But he's never played under pressure, and that's the biggest thing. And as Oxford fans, you know, we're all guilty of it sometimes, of thinking, you know, this is the new Messiah. When Jamie Brooks came in and was tearing the league apart, we thought this is going to be the future of Oxford United.
It
never materialised. What I'm saying is, but you know, those hopes go. But you know, maybe Chris Wilder will play him and do one of those infamous Chris Wilder things where fortune comes along when he doesn't actually plan it; it falls at his lap.
Are we talking mids and talking away?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's what happens to Chris Wilder. You put it down to, is he just lucky? Because it happens more than once that something he stumbled over something that he's not planned, and he runs with it. You know,
stumble over us.
They come cluster doing more of that to a few times.
A youngster at Everton at the moment, is it somebody Barkley?
Yeah.
Because I was listening to some pundits. I haven't seen him play myself, but they were talking about how David Moyes was a little bit cagey about chucking him in and giving him a proper run out. Now Martinez is doing that. He's giving him a proper run out, and all of a sudden he's amazing. Sometimes you know, you just need to chuck him in.
He may have no option.
Colin,
let's be fair.
You're nodding your head in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, he just, every time I've seen him in the pre-season fixtures, he does the right things in the right places. You know, he keeps the ball, he gets involved with the full-backs, and he just seems to, you know, he seems to have an older head on his young shoulders. And I think, really, you know, Chris Wilder said he was thinking for 20 minutes to bring him on against Rochdale, for example. Now, he was worried about the Rochdale full-back attacking Oxford. Come on, we're at home. You know, I would rather think, let's push the full-back back instead of worrying about him coming forward.
Mm-hmm. I wondered with the chat, because I thought the game previous, Wickham was the game that Callum should have came on. They've gone down a 10, we scored with a free kick, it's now for us. We've got Alfie against the second choice right left back, leave him on that side to have a go at the second choice, freeze up the left, get him on the left hand side. What I'm wondering about is when he spoke about Rochdale, I don't think Rochdale was the game to bring Callum on, because at that present time in that game, Rochdale was starting to stroke the ball around really well, and they're going to be a good side, and I can understand a little bit of reticence to put him on there. I don't think Rochdale was his game, but all I'm saying is that I suppose it's twofold. We do have good youngsters, but how do we blood them?
You play them. That's
because we haven't done. I've seen every game. In my opinion, we've done enough in a lot of games, but it's always been a battle.
Yeah.
And you've got to make sure that maybe one youngster can go and battle. In my opinion, you can't go out there and get, you know. And as I just said, did I not? Ryan Williams always looks frightened. Always looks frightened.
Ryan looks like a player who tries too hard sometimes. He knows that he's trying to resurrect his career, having left, come from Fulham, and he's trying to build something up. He picks the ball, tries too hard. You know, 5 yard simple balls are good enough, Ryan. Not trying to beat the ball full back three times and run 40 miles an hour. You don't need to do that sometimes, and it does infuriate me. Saying, you know, his hand will be forced and he will play Callum O'Dowda because he'll have nobody else left. I think if you look at the team you mentioned about Portsmouth and the bench we had, that's a massive team to start the season with. If he'd have kept that till now, what we are, I don't know what games we're in now, 10 games, you know, we'd be up there absolutely banging, having a go at Chesterfield, because that's a strong team we started with. You know, looking at five injuries plus suspensions. Mm. Any side's going to get decimated like that in this division. You know, our big Chesterfield bench is, once they start getting under pressure, they're going to feel.
We went to Chesterfield last year. The bench I spoke about, we're all trainers.
Yeah, but you went to Chesterfield last season. The crowd were so negative with that team. It was incredible. The pressure is on those players, and it does tell. You've got to be strong. We go away from home with 2,000. We're positive. We are so positive. It's a day out. We could be 17 down at half time, but we'll keep going because we're away from home, and that's why we're a better team away.
Well, it's the first time for a long time, I think, in fact, since Chesterfield drew 0-0 and went up previously, that the press box was completely full with Chesterfield people yesterday, and only a few Oxford press people. They came in their hordes, I spoke to them, and they said, "We're enjoying it. Fantastic. What we're seeing is great." And in fairness, they were a joy to watch, weren't they?
Yeah, and the same was. Happen to Oxford. I mean, look how many armchair fans we've got. You know, we appear at Wembley, everybody comes out of the woodwork. Swindon arrive, the ground's full. You know, we go away from home, we have an amazing following away from home. It's all there, but we need to be entertained. That's why you were saying about my mate earlier on. He doesn't go because he feels he's had a season ticket every single season, even at the Manor. And he's had enough. He said, "I'm not being entertained. I'm miserable when I leave the ground. I'm not going anymore." So, you know, it is, you know, Oxford are obliged to try and entertain the fans. And it's not always going to get you a win. But what it will do is people will understand that, you know, we're going the right way. But at the moment, I just feel that it's year in, year out. We are there and thereabouts at the end of the season, but it's just not entertaining enough at home, and that's our bread and butter.
Right, part two, Chesterfield done and dusted. Hartlepool, little jaunt up the road, just the other side of Banbury next week. Just running through a few things, we have lost a wing to a suspension. We better talk about that. I think for anybody that was at the ground yesterday, any youngsters that weren't born, you know, before, sort of, they saw a 1970s tackle. One that you used to do, Cole, back in the day. Got them when you could. Yeah. Was it sending off, in your opinion?
I think it was a cumulative sending off.
Oh, back to the word cumulative. Remember the day. Part one, remember the day.
I think, you know, there was a bit of a build-up. I just think the way that the referee wasn't booking other challenges, I thought it would have been a yellow in the scheme of things. But and it really surprised me when he just got the red straight out. But on another day, if you had a more fussy ref, it would have been a straight red, so it probably was a red.
Well, the thing that surprised me yesterday, Andy, do you remember Ebbsfleet? We're doing commentary down at Ebbsfleet, and Luke Foster caught a player, and I have never, ever seen... It was a good tackle, but it was blindside to the referee. And the card was out of the referee's pocket before he'd made half a yard. Yesterday was the same. As soon as Wingy had got there and they were off of the bench, he was in the top pocket. There was never any judgment, was it? It was always going to be a red from the referee. Do you think sometimes, Kevin, because you do love the
officials. Well, you want me to talk about referees?
Yeah, I want you to talk about it. Do you think they can be a little bit eager?
Yeah, the referees will stamp their authority in the game any way they think it suits them. And that's where they're talking to players, or just by getting cards out. And the tone and the way they stand in front of players, if you're a five-year-old and I'm in charge of this game, that's how it's going to be. I only saw the Wingy tackle yesterday. In today's climate, that's a red, because he got it as quick as he could, took the player down, didn't win the football. Whatever the bench do, yeah, it does sometimes put it in the referee's mind. That was a red for me, but oh God, referees.
There was an issue yesterday, and I know a lot of people were getting fed up with it, that it seemed a bit one-sided. When you're emotionally involved, as we all are, it seems a bit one-sided. But, you know, I sat there on my toddy in certain aspects, in certain places in the stand, and I did watch an awful lot of a little kick, a little bit of a chat to the Chesterfield player, a little kick from us, and it appeared that a card would come out. It did seem to be a little bit as though the Oxford players had maybe got in the referee's ear too much, and it was a case of, well, I'll produce a card then for that, you know, almost as though they sort of overdid the even it up referee and he just went the other way. You know, do you think that happens?
If referees have previous, certainly with management, if Chris Wilder's been in the face of him as a fourth official maybe or previous games, I have no doubt anybody sat at this table is thinking in the back of their mind, yeah, it'll be my turn soon, don't worry. And it comes to play, and unfortunately referees are human, they'll do what they think they can get away with. You know, I can't stand any of them. I think they're all pretty poor. I think half of them never played the game, wouldn't know a tackle with a bit of them on the backside. And I think sometimes the emotion of the game gets the top of them and they'll do what they think they need to do to
talking
bring it back.
Biting on the backside, can we keep Luis Suarez out of this?
I was going to say, like, I mean, I think from top level, best referees are able to referee entirely dispassionately. If people are in their ear, they completely ignore it. We're not top level, our referees are not top level, and I suspect that emotional thing probably does.
Don't even go there, Andre Mariner, Northampton away a couple of years ago. He looked so fed up that he had to do League Two that he was just interested in his tack. Colin, you know, you saw the whole game yesterday. Did you feel there was a little bias towards Chesterfield because they were just such a good team?
Unquestionably, it did seem like that to me.
Just checking your record with the IFA, Colin. You like that, yeah. Yeah.
No, but I think I saw Kitson getting in the referee's ear straight away, and the referee must have warned him three or four times in the first 10 minutes. So I thought, you know, it's only a matter of time before he goes in the book. But I did, I mean, he seemed to let some of the challenges go on Oxford, and then, you know, the crowd was getting on his back, and then straight away, exactly the same thing. And he pulled Oxford up for it, you know. And I think he was one of those wrestlers. The more the crowd got onto him, the more he was going to stand firm.
Referees will do that. The referees will look at players and think, how can I influence this game? Or this crowd on my back, how can I shut them up? How can I make them loud? It doesn't matter, because I'll walk off the field and get in the car and go home. What I'll do is, I'll just do something brilliant, which is like book somebody for an innocuous challenge, because that'll really wind them up. Oh, I've got away with that one. Let's move on again. Referees will do that, and the standard we've seen for the last 5-6 years, it's clearly evident that's what referees do. I have no doubt about that. But you have to live with it. You know, this I don't know, this image that you all talk to referees lovely and go, oh, thanks very much, mate, brilliant. And he'll help you out. That doesn't work.
I used to trip them up in the days on Sunday morning, go across behind them, and they'd be on the floor. Just going back to Dave Kitson, great pedigree. We know he can score goals. We know he can play football. We know he's a very useful footballer. We had another one that came to us from Plymouth Argyle called Steve McLean a few years back. I really liked him. I thought he was a very intelligent footballer and used it very well, but I still stick in my mind Bury away when we lost 3-0. He was being manhandled by the centre-half whilst the full-back had his hand in his mouth and was basically pulling him to the floor. And McLean got up and looked at the linesman and thought, what's going on? Why ain't I getting a free kick? You know, sometimes that now it doesn't work in League 2. League 2, you're going to get knocked around. You're going to get officialdom that isn't the greatest thing in the world. Is that a problem that Dave Kitson might face?
Yes. We were talking about a disciplinary record off air. He's got 5 yellow cards so far this season. Last couple of seasons, 8 yellow cards each season, and that may well be because he just absolutely has no idea how to deal with the referees at this level.
It is League Two referee, and it's not great. But we do go to Hartlepool this week. Now they've struggled for form. Got Colin Cooper, unlucky I think to draw away at Bristol Rovers yesterday. I think they could have got a win. But we do go with an awful lot of players missing, Colin. You know, does this fixture that maybe at one point when we were second or fourth in the table looked maybe a good one to go and get as an away trip, does it look a little bit awkward now?
Well, it could be the old banana skin coming out.
Bendy Elfrey.
Now, I mean, we might have to play some of the development squad. To finish.
You don't like the word development squad, do you?
I hate the word development squad. It makes those young players feel like they're just add-ons. So I think that word should be banned.
But it is there because there are a lot of clubs and now we've got development squads, apart from Wycombe Wanderers who scrapped theirs recently. And I've just got to tell you, I went to see the England match and me and Jack were sat on the train and this big, large, rotund bloke got on. He was a Wycombe Wanderers fan. And I have to say that I sat there, me and Jack cringed all the way through, because it's silly chat like that on a train that incites, you know,
naughtiness.
Well, naughtiness, yeah. I could have gone over and given him a real piece of my mind, let's put it that way, as he slagged off my club. He was put in his place in the end, because I had a quick word with his mate and said, if you don't shut up, you know. I will take as many pies away. But what I'm saying is that I don't know why I said that story, but it just annoyed me because Wickham came into my head. Development squad, we're going to Hartlepool. We've got a tough ask, but we do know, with Hartlepool being a new ground on the agenda for an awful lot of Oxford United fans, there's going to be 300, 400, 500 up there next week. We know that away fans sort of have the tolerance factor to stay with the team for the 90 minutes, don't we? Whereas the home fans who are turning up for 4 of the games this year, which is now Bury, Wickham, Rochdale and Chesterfield, where we haven't been entertained, their tolerance factor is quite low.
Well, maybe this is the ideal opportunity then to bring, I don't know, Callum, Josh, somebody. Well, we need somebody in centre midfield for a start. So there's one.
But that's a big role. We've been slightly critical saying Andy Wing sits on the toes of the... I think he's good in a 3. I think as a screener, he's great in a 3. In a 4, he tends to drag up too deep. But he's out. Is Josh Ruffles a man? Or will Chris Wilder look at experience instead of youth and go for Scott Davis?
Well, Josh came on Saturday and played in there. So maybe Chris Wilder was taking a look at him.
Scott Davis was already on the park, so we couldn't put him there. So what do you reckon? Is it going to... Do you think there is a way that Chris works his best? Do you think he goes like seniority? A bit like Ian Atkins wouldn't use Whitehead, Simon King, Chris Hackett. You know, he'd always go for a Matt Band or a Dave Waterman, or he'd bring somebody in with 500 games behind him.
Yeah, you know, as a manager, you're going to look at what's on your bench and what's going to help you win a game. You know, that's the bottom line. He'll look at those players and he'll know them, what talents, what weaknesses, what positives they can bring to that game. And sometimes he makes strange decisions. We've seen it over the years. You're thinking, why has he brought him on? But he believes, he's not going to bring a player onto the park and think, I'll bring this bloke on because he's rubbish and hopefully that'll make them concede and I'll look really stupid. That isn't how it works. You're trying to bring them on. You know, I think he'll start with Scott Davis in the middle of the park. That's what I think he'll start with. The boy's got talent for me. Yeah, you know, it's the laughy jokey. You know, we talk about him and say he's the Ollie Mears of League Two. He's got ability. He's stroked footballs even in pre-season. He's pinged ball to the outside of his foot 40 yards. There's no doubt. But Scott Davis needs somebody around him. And for me, that means you've got to go 4-4-2 for me, with Scott Davis playing in. If John Ruffles comes and plays in that middle of the park with him and sits inside, then that's what you do. But you can't sit him in a three for me, Scott Davis.
Do you not think he'll go 4-4-2, drop Acer in alongside Danny Rose, because that's a left and right balance, and then go for Shawnee Rigg from the start, and then pop Callum on the bench just in case Sean's hamstring gives out?
Well, I would go the way around. I'd start with Callum and bring Sean on. I thought, you've got nothing to lose going to Hartlepool. Because I saw him at Chowan. I thought he was outstanding. He was probably the best player on the park in the yellow shirt. I thought he was
He's got that naivety that you bring. He's got that sort of exuberance to go out and have a go, hasn't he?
Yeah, and maybe he will get the pressure and think, well, you know, what does it mean to me? This is the start of my career. 3 weeks down the line, people will even forget that I've even probably participated. Have a go. And I think, for me, start with Callum. Start with Callum, have a go. And if you need Riggy, bring him on.
And I think in an away game as well, as Colin was saying, an away game is probably the best chance you're going to get, where it's the best opportunity to blood a youngster like that, because they will be behind him, and they'll be behind him. Like the vast majority will be behind him vocally. Now, okay, we have had away fans occasionally getting on the back of players. I remember it was Andy Wingett, was it Crew, where he was getting a bit of stick. But not a youngster. Like Callum, no. They'll be right behind him from the word go. That could you could see a bit of stick at home if he was struggling, but not away from home, and he'd get the support he needed.
Sean Rigg's coming back from a long layoff with a hamstring injury. It's got to be nurtured. It's a big impact muscle that could go at any time. Dean Smalley, I think, is still not 100% fit. Tyrone Marsh is injured. Dave Kitson's out. And James Constable's injured. You know, are we looking at? What are we looking at, Cole Gill
and Marco? My boots in the car, so I'm not.
Yeah.
Hartlepool's a problem.
Oh, yeah, don't go away.
You'll probably see Alfie Potter up there, we would expect. And maybe Ryan Williams coming in on the right or something like that. But, you know, we don't. Smalley might play.
Well, I'm anticipating that Dino will go out.
Yeah.
And he'll be going at 75-80% because he'll have a week's training or a week's recuperation. I'm not saying I know anything. I don't know anything at all. But I'm just thinking to myself, he didn't look as mobile as I've seen him recently. And because I thought he opened the season up really well. It's like having a new player, in fairness.
Was absolutely terrible against Portsmouth. As a prime example of a player who just believed in what he could do. You know, there's no doubt. I believe that he's a goal scorer. I think he's got talent. He's just a massive confidence player. And when the pressure's on, and now he's picked an injury up and come back from an injury, so he's not playing the full 100%, I think he's a goal scorer. You know, I like him, and I like him with James Constable. I think as a partnership, we've never had that experience of playing 10, 15 games with those two as a two. And I think they're ideal partnership. Whether that'll come now with Dave Kitson here, I'll be very surprised.
One up front.
4-1-4-1.
One up front, pack the midfield, hit him on the break.
That's your way forward. You are the ref.
I'm not saying that's the way forward.
No, it's a way forward of what we've got.
For Saturday, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think he's right. Yeah.
Okay, the final one is that we're fourth in the division. We're as negative could be. Apologies to anybody that listened to us that wants us to be really positive. We are positive. We want to see him win every single game. But there's questions that need to be answered. Why can't we perform currently at home? And are we sort of kidding ourselves that it's going to be a fourth or a top seven finish? In general terms, Colin, I'll ask you this one, Andy, you can all chip in afterwards. You know, do you think the club, in general terms, from top to bottom, is heading in the right direction?
I think there's not a bottomless pit of money in the club. We all know that. You know, the club's losing money. And it's what he's doing with the development squad is obviously a good thing to do. Bring them on. He hasn't got to pay loads and loads of senior pros lots and lots of money and lose even more money. You know, and the fitness regime that they've got, and you know, to make sure everyone's fit and robust is another good way forward. So I think they are going the right way. I just feel that perhaps we just need one or two more senior players with a bit of talent to unlock the away sides at the Kassam.
Good chat. Andy, your thoughts?
Well, I think the club is working really extremely hard to make the best of what is actually not a particularly great situation in terms of our finances, our current situation, but they're working extremely hard to try and turn that around, particularly with our crowds down. I actually think that the club is making a degree of progress, but I don't. My major concern is I don't think the progress is anywhere near quick enough, because as we've talked at length before about the slower you move forward, as you, we say, you don't stand still in football, you move backwards. And if you're not taking strides forward, we repeat, be in a situation where the crowds start tailing off again, and we get more people like Collins May, who said I can't bear this anymore, who start dropping away, and you've got to turn that around quickly. So I think progress is being made, but my concern is it's not being made anywhere near quickly enough.
Same sort of question to you at the end, Kevin, but when you implement things on what is a rolling ball, it's very difficult for them to come to fruition. We're throwing together a development squad currently with some of the youngsters that are coming up through the system, some of the youngsters that have done the system, and cruel people would say cast-offs from other clubs, but some players that have come in that we've taken from other clubs. It's difficult to just have an A1 spot on, top line, excellent quality development squad straight there, straight away. You've got to build it over a period of time, as with the fitness and everything else. But do you think the club is making the right steps in the right direction?
Well, Ian Lennigan came in the first time he came in and thought, here's another rugby club I can manage and this will be really fantastic. I've done the Super League, it's really easy. Football's not really easy, and he's found out really probably the hard way of doing it and realising financially we were in a mess, and I think he sorted it out to a degree and he settled down, he knows what he wants to do. And you're right, it's a long term package, you know, we're not talking the development squad will come in by the end of this season. Five of those players will be playing first team football and they'll be great, and two of them off to Man United and we'll sail there and make, that's not how it works. This is a 3-4 year programme. We need to settle this club down, you know, and attendance is a massive thing. But you look at it and think 5,500 people will be coming through that gate majority of the time. If we're down the bottom of the league and you're fighting for relegation, we'll probably get more. We'll probably have more because that battle will come and people enjoy that. This club's been through so much that we enjoy that aspect of it. So you have to sit in the 5,500. Well, you know, it is about that. And suddenly we're crap and everything's...
Helps me with my weight loss.
Yeah. And everybody wants to, you know, everybody wants that battle to happen. What's happened the last few seasons, we're sat 6th, 7th, but it's never really got itself going. And we all look around and think, playoffs. And deep down we all know we've got no chance in hell of making that because we're not consistent enough at home. That's always been our biggest problem. And that's been our biggest problem since we moved to the Kasam. You know, the soulless pit that it is. We talk about a great stadium. It was impressive because we went from the Manor to it. You don't get an atmosphere. You'll never get an atmosphere in there. Not because the side's missing, because you're 5 miles away. It's an athletic stadium. That's what I mean. Put a running track around it, it'd be brilliant.
It's not a ground alike.
It's what we've got. When it's full and buzzing, it's quite good, but it's never fantastic because the open end is still going to be there. But what you have to do is take on board that the club is moving forward. We're better than most clubs in division. There's some probably doing it better than we are, but you have to look at Portsmouth and look at those clubs and think, you could be bankrupt. You could be out of business. It's back to food parcels for the staff again. That I don't think will happen under the regime we've got. I still think Chris Wilder will get us promoted this season. I do believe that. I think it, you know, it's injuries again worries me every season. We've suddenly got 4 or 5 massive injuries again. I don't understand that. We talk about the fitness aspect and all this training that comes, let's go to the Marines Army camp and that'll treat us really well. I'm not saying these injuries are linked, but we're back down. 10 games in, 8 games in, we've got massive injuries again. And it really does concern me that you can't have that backup off the bench because you can't afford to have that in this league.
Sadly, that is the balance, isn't
yeah,
it? Do you bring a big earner in and sacrifice possibly, you know, 2 or 3 other players? Jamie Guy, some years ago, I remember Jim Smith saying to me down at Sudbury in the rain, when he goes, we should be able to get 6 players in. That's it. That's it for this week. Maybe not those words. That's it for this week. We normally do it every 2 weeks, but we will be popping a podcast out of the ice rink next Sunday. They're at home to the Whitelink Raiders. They have won 3 from 3. Go local side, local pride and winners. They won against Peterborough Islanders. But it's a big thank you to Colin for coming down and sharing your thoughts. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
You must come back again.
I will do.
Because you owe me a pint. Andy, thanks for turning up.
Yeah, I've got to come back because I owe Kevin a pint.
There we are. Cheers. Cheers. Nice to see you.
I'm just coming back because he owes me a pint then.
That's it. Whee!
Bye.